direct. From Guano Productions headquarters in the Los Angeles Underground, it's time for your new favorite podcast, The Superiority Complex. It's like honey in your ear holes. Welcome back to The Superiority Complex, everyone. It's only been since, what, this is December. We're in early December. Early to mid December. Our last recording was, I think our last episode dropped in on the 2nd of October.
Wow.
You and I have not recorded
for a while.
Caitlin, since September.
Mm-hmm. It's been a hot minute.
As a matter of fact, it's been September. It's been 3 months since you and I have sat down to do a podcast together. So first of all, apologies. I've missed you too.
Thanks for acknowledging that comment.
I'm sorry. No, because I wanted to, first of all, just get everybody caught up. First of all, I have been underwhelmed by the response on the internet in regards to us having gone missing for the last 3 months.
We haven't hit news yet.
Yeah. There's been no one asking, no emails.
No reward.
No tweets, nothing. Like, hey, are you guys coming back? Nothing. Zero. Zero. But don't let that dishearten you, because you and I, Caitlin, we don't do this for the people. We do this for ourselves.
Self-gratification.
That's all it is. We like to hear each other talk. We like to hear ourselves talk, and we like to hear each other talk. And so, you know, as long as we have a microphone and each other, you and I are going to be able
That's why we're perfect.
We're going to be able to keep this thing going as long as I can keep paying the monthly hosting fee. So I dropped my recorder. There was some equipment for that. I dropped my recorder, and we've been out of it for a couple of months.
Is that what happened?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
You're still hot on that mic.
I didn't.
No, you can just push it towards me.
Okay.
This is good radio. Push it towards me.
Yes.
And then you can lean in like that. See?
Like this.
You sound really nice.
Okay. Thank you.
It's really noisy out. There's a lot of ambient noise out there today. So I don't know if we're going to pick any of that up.
There's a new person behind the desk that I'm not used to seeing, and I'm a little judgmental right now.
I think he's just hanging out.
I need to have some time to figure out whether I approve.
Let's get everybody caught. There's a lot going on that we've missed out on. So, first of all, I am really happy to be back, and I have actually – I did and didn't miss doing the podcast. It was kind of nice – not because I wait till the last minute to prep everything all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so that air of just, it's Wednesday, I can relax, because we usually record on like Wednesdays. That's been really nice. Mm-hmm. But then it's also an outlet for me to talk about stuff that I like. And then I do like hearing back from people. It's oddly enough, when we do post, I'm just kidding. A couple of people did, when I posted the Star Wars teaser trailer reaction, a couple of people were like, hey, you're recording again. Good. Which was nice to hear, you know. So thank you for that. But it is kind of therapeutic to come in and just get stuff off your chest.
Yeah.
In a pop culture form.
Okay.
Because it's nothing important. We're not talking about anything important here. So
we do sometimes, though.
We do. It happens.
Our podcast gets dark.
Yeah. The last one I put up is one that you weren't here. Was my friend Lauren Nichols and I. And we really went off on like this really long liberal rant.
Oh God!
And I was like, God, you know, if somebody was just listening to this for the first time, there's no reason they'd ever want to come.
Yeah, that would not be the first one.
Don't listen to that. You know, but if you've been with us for a while, you know that sometimes this kind of stuff just comes up in conversation. But I have missed doing it. I missed the outlet and being able to talk about the geeky stuff that I enjoy. I don't miss doing the prep on the show, I've noticed. Mm-hmm. But that being said, we slapped together a really great show. The last minute. There's been a lot of stuff going on as far as in our little podcast world here. First of all, I've been meaning to say thank you. The crew over at Chaos After Dark, formerly Undercity Chaos, which was a podcast I was part of. They gave me birthday greetings on the air, and I wanted to say thanks. And I was waiting. I thought we were going to be back in like, you know, a week or two. And so it's gone this long, and I didn't comment on it, but I wanted to just say hi to everybody over at Chaos After Dark. It's Matt the Rat and our friend Martin and Billy the Kid and Nando Calrissian. That's the crew over at Chaos After Dark. So give them a listen. They are really, really, they're really fun comic book podcast, and they're really good. And their show is just getting better and better. They're adding a lot of new features, and they're really growing. They're getting a lot of fans. And the host, Matt, is just one of those guys that, like, I give him a hard time all the time, but I really admire him because he's one of those guys that isn't afraid to, like, if he's at Comic-Con and he sees a comic book writer that he likes and respects, he'll just walk up and be like, hey, I have a podcast. You want to, can I interview you? And 9 times out of 10, the guys say yes, and they'll just do it. Whereas I'll be like, oh, excuse me, I need to talk to your PR person. And, you know, I get really, really intimidated in those situations. So, and they do a really good job over there. And then our other former co-host, Renee, we were all co-hosts together. Renee has continued, under the Undercity, the official Undercity podcast. We record here at Undercity Studios in beautiful Uptown Whittier. And so the official Undercity podcast can be found at, Undercity Comic Book. I think it's called the Undercity Podcast. But Renee Bravo, our friend, he's been on our show and he is the host there. He has not asked me to be on that show yet. Mm. It's okay because I don't think he listens.
Oh,
I still love him though. Renee's a good egg. He's helped us out on a lot of our Doctor Who panels and stuff like that. So I just wanted to give a quick shout out to another couple of good podcasts. And by the way, you ran into a group of people who run a podcast called The Mission Log. And The Mission Log, well, okay, like I listened to it on the way over here.
Mm-hmm.
We really have to step up our game.
Really?
They're like a professional. They're part of the Nerdist Network, which is like Chris Hardwick's whole corporation.
They were awesome.
They were, yeah. And so Caitlin ran into him and then she's like, hey, I'm on a podcast. Not knowing that what we do isn't really a podcast. It's just two people talking into a microphone. But this is, they do a really professional. So if you like our weekly Trek Up, listen to them because they really, they give you a whole recap. They break it down by act, like act one, this happens, act two, this happens. And then they just go into all of the details of the show.
Jeez.
They aren't as gossipy as we are because I think they're I think they're like I think they call themselves a Roddenberry. So I think they're part of like the Roddenberry family or like they're somehow sponsored by the Roddenberry family. So we get more into the lurid details. What went on? But I want to give him a shout out because I think the gentleman's name was John and I think he's the co-host.
Okay,
and I think that's who you met. Mm-hmm. And then you introduced me to, and they did a really, really, they're really, really. So if you like what we're doing here, they're doing it in a, they dedicate a whole hour to what we do in like 10 minutes. So yeah. They really break it down.
Yeah. That's intense. But, I know I didn't have a chance to look it up cause I gave you the card and then I'd like to listen to it.
And then I washed it. I washed that card. It was in my shirt and I washed it.
Oh,
so I have the card.
Okay. Well,
the card just survived a wash because I remembered what the name of the podcast was.
It was a cool card. It was like
really cool.
It was long and horizontal and
yeah. Yeah. I want to get a hold of it. Look, it was kind of a monolith tile style.
Yeah.
I want to get a hold of them because that they just seem like really nice people. And,
they were, well, I didn't know. I mean, the one woman was wearing, like the Star Trek, the badge symbol.
The Starfleet.
She had the earrings, which were really cool. But at first, we were talking about movies, and they had, like, a Maleficent, like, item. And they're like, oh, did you see the new movie? And I was like, oh, no, I actually don't want to watch it because she's my favorite Disney character, and it's going to ruin it for me. And then I was like, oh, they tried to make her nice. And then the woman on the end got really mad at me. And she was like, well, the guy who co-hosts that podcast, she's like, he hasn't seen it. We're huge movie buffs, whatever. And she's like, see if you can make it up to us. Like, I was like, well, okay. And I was like, well, I'm actually on a podcast and we talk about Star Trek. And they were like, oh my God. And then I happened to just score there because they are all Trekkies.
Nice.
It worked.
Work.
I know. I really spit the game on that one.
Nice work. You did. You did. So, Caitlin, I wanted to catch up with you because when we last talked to you, you were prepping to do your show.
Okay.
Your art show. And you actually, so time has passed and now you're actually prepping to do another one
mm-hmm.
at the same location. But why don't you give us a real quick rundown of how your show went and what it was like to have your work presented in, you know, and have people come by and get feedback and all that.
So the first one was really cool because it's like, it's a pretty big venue and there's a ton of different artists there. So it was neat having my stuff on display and they call you up on stage and I took like one of my big paintings and I stood up there and like talked about my art for a second and then I showed them where my booth was and I was actually located right next to the bar. So I had a lot of foot traffic and this time I'm located the same place. So I'm happy about that. So I'm going to be in the same spot. plenty of people drinking. They'll look at my art. It's great. I got a lot of really cool feedback, like not like constructive criticism or anything, but people were just impressed. Some people who were like art collectors gave me their card, and I thought that was really cool because I was like, wow, they want to collect my art. That's different. And then, shoot, one guy actually
– keep going.
One guy actually bought an original. So that was really nice. I sold it for $150, and afterwards I was like, I probably should have sold it for a little bit more. But
you know what? Though it's out there.
He wanted it. I know he wanted it, and I acted fast, and I sold it, and it was exciting.
And what I liked about what you showed me was that you didn't try to deviate from the stuff that you normally do. You do a very, you have a very. If you haven't seen, you can go to CaitlinDespain.com. Is that what it is?
Yes.
Go to CaitlinDespain.com. And you can see her art. It's very, very, very – she has a very cool style, and it's very I don't want to say poppy. It's not pop art, but it's very whimsical is a hard word to say. But
the word whimsical because I feel like it's the easiest to describe.
Yeah, but there's also like – there's like kind of –
it's
some,
not like fairies. Like I don't
no, but there's some fairies. Dark undertones too.
Yeah.
And then we got – I bought up a couple of prints off of you just because I like the – It told a little story, and it was two different prints that you said you realized later had kind of had a common theme, and it's very kid friendly. It's not the stuff that, like, if you think you're going to go to an art show, it's not the stuff you think you're going to see, but it's really, really good, and it's really, really cool and really well done. And
thank you.
It has a really cool. It's somewhere between the drawing and like a really twisted kid's book and like a really cool comic book. Like it's somewhere in between. Like it could fit either. You know what I mean?
I'm really enjoying watching you try to like figure out.
Well, because I'm not, I don't know.
I don't even know how to describe it.
Yeah.
Did you see, I was interviewed at the art show because that's like a part of the package. Like you have to sell so many tickets and then there's a lot of publicity. And then you take a headshot and then you're interviewed so you can talk about your art. And they just posted it to YouTube like just last week. And I watched it and man, like I don't know how to talk about my art like I should. Like I was just like, it's whimsical. And I was like, I like to paint things that don't exist
But you know what? That's hard. That's exactly the way. It's hard to describe your art when you see it. Like I just cut the mic out. You did one. The one we have hanging in our house now is of an alien, a female alien, and she's humanoid. You can tell she's humanoid, but she doesn't exactly look like a person. I think she has a tail. Mm. And she's holding an astronaut's head, still in the bubble, And she's got a little smile on her face because she's looking at this garden where she has all these other astronauts' heads planted. Like on spikes in this garden, and she's looking at it like, okay, where's this one going to go? And in the foreground, there's an astronaut's helmet, the bubble, like the old bubble cell, and there's a skull in there. But yet at the same time, it looks cute. The colors you use, everything. It's not like this really dark, like frightening. Mm-hmm. It's like you take this stuff, or like the other one you have like a, there's these astronauts fighting a giant plant. It looks like the Sarlacc from Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
But yet the colors you use are like these really like splashy watercolors, really nice light, almost pastel color, like pastel colors. And so it kind of...
So it's like right on the verge of where like a really nice dream becomes like a really bad nightmare.
Yeah.
It's like kind right
of,
at that
kind switch. Of, yeah. It's really... So if you get a chance, please go check out her artwork. So...
The one I'm working on right now is this... I don't know where she's from. I haven't really decided yet, but it's this princess who has defeated this crocodile king and she's skinned him and is wearing his skin as like a headdress.
That is awesome.
And so it's like, and all the colors are like really nice greens and like pinks and purples and it's bright and there's like gold in it too. So it just looks, like you said, very kid friendly, but also not because like once you realize what you're looking at, you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. I like that. Yeah. What is that one called?
I don't know yet.
So it's called I Don't Know Yet?
It's called I Don't Know Yet.
Perfect.
You're right.
Oh, my God. Oh my I got God. The hiccups. I got the hiccups right in the middle of your story. Were you able to – I mean, I think you told me the biggest thing problem you had was people walking up and touching.
Oh my God.
Your art.
Yeah, that's something I haven't, because with my approach with the last show, I'm framing everything this time, or the majority of everything, but the last one I wanted it to feel like a studio space, so I had everything strung on wires and then just clipped. So I didn't, everything that was framed, I took out of frames and displayed it. Mm-hmm. So before, when like you have something framed and someone comes up and tries to touch something, it's protected by glass and it's not a big deal. But people would walk up and they would like grab the side of the paper, or they would like kind of like scratch at the gold foil that I have on my paintings. And the first time I saw it, I wanted to like vomit, but Marissa, my friend was standing there.
Shout out to Marissa.
Shout out to Marissa. Hey. She was standing there and she acted fast and she was just like, hey, excuse me, don't touch her stuff. Like cause I don't want to say it. Cause like people are looking at my art. Like I want them to look at my art. I don't want to scare them off and be like, hey, back up.
Yeah. 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 Don't be standoffish. Yeah. Yeah. You don't want to come off. You're trying to make money.
Yeah. Like, it was, and I did, I sold a ton of prints and I profited a lot of money and it was very successful. So I was really happy with the turnout, but that was the first time I was in a show where I felt vulnerable because all of my stuff is on display and it's not protected by glass. So people can just walk up and do whatever they want. So this time I'm kind of protecting myself a little bit more, but some stuff is not going to be framed.
Somebody walks up and they just point. Yeah. 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 Cause I think that tendency is there.
Yeah. And then when I was,
there's a reason they have those ropes at you know, like
exactly.
At an art museum.
I was at an art museum in Indiana. And I wasn't even close to the painting.
That
like I was
like an oxymoron.
What do you mean?
An art museum in Indiana. Anyway. What were the paintings of the cows like?
Thank you. Jeez. Anyway, I was pointing at a painting and I was showing Wes something because I took a lot of art history classes and it's cool. If you haven't taken classes like that, it's nice because when you go to places like that, you can understand like especially sculpture, something that is just so like in your face like – the subject matter is like so clear, but you know a lot about the history, so it's cool. But anyway, side note, I was pointing to something and like I had my arm fully extended and then there was a solid like foot and a half from my finger to the painting. And a woman came up behind me and she was like, excuse me, like don't touch the painting. And I was like, I wanted to turn around and be like, you don't know what I've gone through, but you're still going to tell me that I look like the type of person, like, do I look like the basic bitch to touch a painting?
We got
to
talk about that.
Term of the day.
Term of the year, basic bitch. That just,
I think so though.
That just started. Last year was ratchet. Ratchet?
I think ratchet definitely.
But I think ratchet, I still maintain that ratchet is a mispronunciation of the word wretched. Like you look wretched.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That has to be. Why else would you look ratchet?
Ratchet.
Yeah, think about it. She looks ratchet. Like, what does that mean? You're working with a socket wrench? You're going to ratchet it up?
Ratchet.
I think somebody mispronounced wretched, or they heard it, and then now they just use it incorrectly.
But that's how things are made up.
And there's no going back.
There's no going
so
back.
So this woman.
But it's not used as much anymore.
This woman, knowing nothing about you, accused you of being.
Accused me of being the basic B word to be stupid enough to touch a painting in a museum. And then, like, 10 minutes later, we were in, like, this exhibit where there's kind of like a. There were, like, furniture, like, really old furniture, and it was, like, roped off and, like, on, like, this, like, little. This platform. And we heard alarm go off because this couple tried to like get up there and sit on the chairs. So excuse me that I wasn't sitting on chairs and touching paintings, but I was like, you know what? They're just doing their job. But still, it was like, I clearly wasn't touching it.
That's well, you know what though? You
I should have just like spun around fast and still took my extended arm and slapped her across the face.
That would have been nice. Like just with no like warning or anything, just
no time in between. It's just immediate. I was waiting for it.
You should have. What did she look like? I feel like this woman had.
She was short.
I was just gonna say. Did she have glasses?
She looked annoying. Yes.
Oh yes. Were they like the round kind? Were they round?
I don't remember.
Were they thick rimmed?
But for the story, we'll say they're round.
Were they
thick rimmed?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Her hair was up in a little bun.
Was it grayish? Was it going gray?
I would say it was like a really hip color.
Oh no, she was younger then.
She was younger.
I picture was she roly poly or was she?
She was kind of roly poly. She was little chunks.
And was she wearing like a thicker shoe, like a 1940s nurse would wear?
You know what? It feels really good talking poorly about her right now.
Well, this is basic bitch behavior. So we're going to talk about what we're going to do is today is now that we're all caught up with everything almost, we're going to catch up because I do want to do a, we're going to break in a minute, but I want to do a little bit of some geek news. But one of the things we're going to talk about, our favorite stuff of the year. Mm. But I really want to nominate basic bitch as the phrase of the year because all of a sudden I'm hearing it all over the place. It's one of those internet things that I just hear. But I thought about it. Like I was thinking about it. There's two ways to say it. I was thinking about it like, well, yeah, she's your basic bitch. Like, yeah, she's just an unpleasant person or whatever. But I really think it's like, no, she's a basic bitch. Basic meaning to me would mean like generic.
Yeah,
like
generic.
She's just like every other girl.
Every other girl, for sure. Like cookie cutter. Early 20s, lame-bo. Because I realized when I'm writing down all the things that I liked about this year, I'm definitely borderline. I think I'm like evolved from a basic bitch, mm-hmm. but I have like basic bitch backgrounds.
Somebody took a picture online and it's these three girls and they're all wearing like the knee-high boots with the jeans tucked in mm-hmm. and they're all wearing like
really baggy sweaters.
Well, they're wearing like blouses, like white blouses, but they're all wearing like the sleeveless like black vest and like the little like vest jacket, you know?
The puffy jacket,
but they're like a vest. And it's just three pictures of them from behind. And it's like, oh, it's Han Solo season. And that's exactly what it looks like. It looks like three people dressed like Han Solo.
That's awesome.
It's like, oh my God, that's amazing.
That's awesome.
So we'll get back to the basic bitch, but we haven't done a spot of geek news in a little while. There was a feature that I originally had, and that was part of what I wanted to do. And I want to bring it back. And, we're just going to talk about one headline right now, and I want to get Caitlin's take on it. Even though Caitlin didn't go to any movies this year, we learned that when we were putting our list together.
Such a shame.
There are talks. There, Marvel is now in talks with Marvel Studios and Disney, who are now kind of in cahoots, are in talks with Sony, who own the film rights to Spider-Man, to bring Spider-Man over into the Marvel universe that's going on now with Avengers,
I heard about that.
Guardians of the Galaxy, which if that happens,
it doesn't make sense.
Why doesn't it make sense?
I just want to keep things the way they are. Like, why mess with a good thing?
What do you mean? Well, here's the thing. That's the way they are in everywhere but movies.
Yeah.
Because Spider-Man's been in the Avengers. He's been in and out of the Avengers. He mm-hmm. has. The thing about the Marvel universe is that all those characters have interact.
Yeah.
So I feel like if you...
But like I don't understand why hasn't Disney done that yet, or why hasn't Marvel done that in movies yet?
Because they own the Marvel when they were trying to get. Now they have Marvel Studios.
Isn't Spider-Man like dual owned or something?
No, because
there's
Marvel owns him.
Someone was trying to explain this to me.
Marvel owns the rights to the character as far as comics, everything else.
Yeah.
But when they were trying to get the movie produced, Marvel had to give the movie rights to Sony because Sony was the studio that was producing Marvel.
So since Sony was producing it, they couldn't put it in the films because it was a Sony produced.
Yeah. So because now Disney owns Marvel,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So now Disney has, you know, Marvel. So now they want to bring Spider-Man over.
No, yeah.
And Sony's like, the reason that they rebooted Spider-Man so fast, because remember you had the Sam Raimi movies in the early 2000s. The reason you already have, you do or you don't?
I do.
I love them. They're great.
Yeah.
Because they really feel like the way comic books should feel, you know? But the reason they rebooted it so fast is because if they didn't make another one, their rights were going to revert back to Marvel, and then Marvel was going to be able to take the character and stick them into. So then Sony was like, let's hurry up and make these Andrew Garfield movies, which are terrible.
Yeah.
And they just wanted to keep the rights to Spider-Man. So now Disney's saying, look, or Disney and Marvel are saying, look, this is the biggest character in the Marvel universe. Like Spider-Man is Marvel's Superman, you know? Mm. There's no way the Avengers, all these movies take place in New York. Where is Spider-Man? Like what? So what they want to do is they want to bring him in and say, but now whether Sony lets that happen or not, because Sony, they want to start their own franchise. They want to start making movies based on Venom and Carnage and all these other Spider-Man movies. Yeah. Spider-Man movies. And so we'll see what happens. But that is huge. If they can at least have him show up in the movie, that would be pretty awesome. Even if it's just a cameo,
yeah,
I would poop myself because or Spider-Man is my favorite. I think that's pretty huge geek news.
Yeah. It's
Does it make sense to you now? Does it make sense?
No, it does make sense. As I was telling you the other day when I was talking to people about favorite superheroes and everything, and first I said Voldemort, and then everyone yelled at me, and so I was like, okay, Spider-Man. Because I really like the early 2000s Spider-Man movies.
Voldemort is not a superhero. He's a villain.
In my terms.
He's a villain.
He is definitely a superhero.
He is not.
But I said Spider-Man because those were the movies that I enjoyed the most when I was growing up, with the Spider-Man movies, as far as superhero movies go.
Spider-Man is a great character. He's my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
I get all the teen angst.
That's probably why. Oh, yeah. Oh, what movie was it when he – was it Venom?
The one with three where he became emo?
Yeah. Oh, my God. That scene was so funny. Where he's like hair flipping.
That is the worst of the three.
And, oh, for sure. But it's hilarious.
The reason, I don't know if you know this, is Sam Raimi had no interest in doing Venom.
Mm-hmm. Why?
Because he only wanted to do the characters that he grew up with. Uh-huh. And he's like, I don't know anything about Venom. I don't know how to approach Venom. I don't know how to. So it was originally just going to be Sandman. And it was going to be this whole thing. And that's where they gave Sandman like the compelling backstory. Just kind of threw Venom in there, and the studio was like, no, you have to do Venom. We want, you know, this is our moneymaker.
Yeah.
And Sam Raimi was like, I don't want to. And so that movie really doesn't feel like the other two. Like, you watch one and two. Two is great. The one with – I love – one is good. I love the whole – the way they give him the backstory and and the setup and everything to him becoming Spider-Man.
Yeah.
I don't know why there's so much hate for Tobey Maguire. He's supposed to be nerdy.
I know. That's the point. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I have been in debates about this.
And
with
everybody,
other people.
Andrew Garfield plays it.
They're like, but he's cuter. I'm like, that is not the point.
He's not supposed to be. He's supposed to be super nerdy.
He's supposed to be super nerdy, super awkward, and like just Tobey Maguire's face is just that.
Yeah.
It's all that. It's all there. I feel like they casted perfectly.
It was perfect. Yeah. You know, it's sad because as I watch now, looking back, I realize that although she was America's sweetheart at the time, I don't think Kirsten Dunst's performance holds up as well. I think she's probably the weak link in the whole thing. But the woman that got to play Aunt May, and everybody.
There's a hero in all of us. Sorry. Yeah. I can't even.
Everybody that
it.
Got, you know, Alfred Molina is Doc Ock, and Willem Dafoe was a little over the top, but then you had James Franco playing, you know, so Harry Osborn. So I thought I watched them again recently, in the first two, and they still held up for me. And I like them much better than the new Amazing Spider-Man.
Because I feel like the villains in those two are intense. Like, I feel like they worked on a lot of character development for the villains, which sometimes I feel like movies leave that out
because
they just expect to throw in a bad guy and like.
That's what was wrong with Part three, they just threw in a couple. But if you watch that scene where Doc Ock's like arms become self-aware, that's vintage Sam Raimi Evil Dead, where you see like the shots of the arms like flying and people flying around the room, and then that's such a good, it's such a great comic booky scene.
Especially the scene where like the glass is flying towards his wife and it like spins and it shows her reflection.
Oh yeah,
I feel like that's very comic booky too. Like that shot is like very complex.
Sam Raimi really had that eye for like that, and so. You know, I don't know. I'd love to see him turn up in an Avengers movie. It would be really, really cool. So hopefully that'll happen. Now, before we end this segment, the biggest piece of geek news in the world hit just a couple of weeks ago, and we had our reaction here. Have you seen the trailer for Star Wars?
Yeah.
Let's talk about it. What was your reaction?
I think the graphics are going to be awesome. Mm-hmm. Like, the special effects look great. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited that, I mean, at first I was a little apprehensive about Disney being on board and with everything, but I feel like when it comes to creating films, their imagery is fantastic because they have a lot of really great technology, and I feel like companies like that have mastered it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited to see how they create the worlds and how they present them because I think that when I go and watch movies, I'm more like, I mean, it's a very visual experience, but I'm looking at like the use of color and like how everything is like laid out and like shots and composition. And I see it as like a whole piece of art. And so I'm excited to go and see it and see how they've arranged everything, and especially like the use of computers, how they're able to make it look like astonishing, like compared to the old Star Wars films.
Yeah.
So I mean, like watching those, it just doesn't compare.
Well,
but
James, J.J. Abrams, I think they picked the right director because visually, he has a very unique style that lends itself well to that type of movie. What he did with like the new Star Trek movies has been, you know, amazing, because he got a whole generation of people who would never watch Star Trek to like love those movies, and they got a younger, hipper cast, and it looked nothing like the old movies, yet it was still faithful to the spirit of those movies. And I feel like just watching the trailer, I was more excited about that 1 minute. All the little things I saw.
Yeah, it was very like cut.
Got me more excited. And you can tell it's done in a very modern J.J. Abrams style. But it got me more excited about seeing that than any of the other prequels did. Because in the other prequels, because you didn't know that universe yet. And then it ended up being like you really didn't care about it. But you didn't know anything about it. And so you were just like, well, what's that? Who's that guy? What's this? There's a little bit of that in here. The stormtroopers look different. There's a new villain. Everybody's mad about the lightsaber.
It's
relax about
chill.
The lightsaber.
Yeah.
Geeks.
There's nothing wrong with that. What's bad?
So what if it,
it
looks cool? So what? But anyway, there's so much in there, and you can tell just the way, just that shot of the Millennium Falcon. You see how far we've come as far as, but you could see the way the camera angles, you know, the camera's moving a little bit. It's done in a very modern style, but you have the X-Wing fighters, you have these things that look like Star Wars. So, you know, we're going into a Star Wars movie. It's going to look different, but I feel like we're in good hands.
I don't feel like it really looks that different though.
No, because of all of the visual cues that you have, stormtroopers and all that. I think the way it's shot looks different.
Yeah.
And there's some like color saturation, like especially with the stormtroopers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
There's shots that maybe George Lucas wouldn't have done then, but now, you know, we have the technology but I feel like Abrams' weakness has always been not being able to finish a story. But since somebody else has written the script, it's like, here, just make this movie.
Yeah.
And I don't think you could pick maybe Guillermo del Toro, maybe somebody like that visually who has that style, like, you know, but I think they picked the right guy for the job. And so I am super pumped to see it. Remind me at the break, I'm going to show you a video of my friend's toddler. And she has obviously seen the trailer many, many times, but he did like a live reaction of her watching the trailer.
Oh, my God.
It is the most adorable thing you will ever see in your whole life. So shout out to Frizz and his daughter. I think it's Zoe is his daughter's name. I'm sorry. I forgot. I don't have it in front of me. But she reminds me a little bit of my daughter because she has no hair. She's like a little toddler. She's got, you know, very, very little, just a little bit of hair up on top. She comes running in as soon as she hears the trailer, and she's like pointing to things, and she's super excited. And
that's incredible.
It's a really, really great reaction show. So we're going to take a quick break, and when we're back, we're going to be back with our best of 2014. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back after the break. We just watched the Zoe's reaction. I hope he puts that up on YouTube. I really want to put it on the Superiority Complex Facebook page. But you know, I want to ask for permission, just because I think everybody in the world should see that because she's adorable and she's timed the music right at the end. She gives that downbeat at the end. It's just like that is so awesome. So good job, Paul Frizzly. Paul Frizzly, by the way, I should give a shout out to his band. Frizzly is in a band called Red 7,
ooh,
which is named after... No, it's not Red 7. Red 7 is a card game.
Awkward.
I think it's... it's Red 9. Red 9 is a band.
You know what? You were close enough.
Yep. Red 9. Red 7 is a card game. Sorry. So sorry. I'll edit that. No, I won't. I said Red 7. Red 7 is... the reason I said Red 7 is that's Luke's call sign. Is it Red 7?
Oh, my God.
What is Luke's call sign? Google that. Here, let's Google that. What is Luke Skywalker's call sign?
According to Wikipedia, Wikipedia, Wikia, Red 5 was later, by coincidence or a strange play of fate, Luke Skywalker's call sign in the Battle of Yavin. During the Galactic Civil War, Chewbacca was assigned the call sign during a mission to Kamino in Fore Abbey. Gris Fricks flew as Red 5 during the Battle of Endor.
Jeez. So he was Red 5. Thank you, Google.
Thank you, Google.
Thank you, Google.
Thank you, Google.
So Red 7 was a number that I did not bet on roulette once, and my cousin won a bunch of money because he bet on it twice at two different tables and it came up.
It's a little bit
hurtful. It's a little bit sucky because he was telling me, bet on Red 7, man. I didn't do it. He dropped $100 twice. So what's that? 32 to 1. So he won $6,400.
Wow.
Yep. On two different tables within like a minute of each other.
Wait, so $6,400 total?
I'll give you the backstory. It was my bachelor party. We were in Vegas and I got married in Vegas. So the night before we all went out. So my cousin gave me some money and he said, here, this is for your wedding. This is your wedding present. Bet it on Red 7. And I said, I'm going to put it on something else. I put it on something else. So my cousin put $100 on Red 7 and it came up. Boom. So I was like, wow, $3,200 that I could have had. So he goes, here, gives me another $100. He's like, this table here, Red 7. I'm telling you, it's going to come up. And I was like, there's no way it's coming up twice.
How does he know?
He's the luckiest guy. He put it on Red 7 and it came up again.
That's some serious bull crap.
Yeah.
I would be so angry.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
My mom has a story once where she was in a casino and she was doing some slots and she was at this one machine and she played and got up. And then this old woman sat down right after she got up. And as my mom was walking away, the woman hit the jackpot. It was like a couple $1 million. And my mom was like, I hate myself.
Wow. I saw a woman one time in Vegas. I was going to the restroom and she was like, and one of the slot machines right by the restroom. And she had hit like one of the progressive jackpots, like several $1,000s. And she's just standing there like with a look on her face, like she's waiting for the bus, just as bored as can be. And I said, wow, you hit that jackpot. And she goes, honey, I've been coming to Vegas for 50 years. Do you know how much money I put in these machines? This is nothing.
Oh my God.
And I was just
God.
Like, wow, she can't even be excited about about winning.
Finally winning something.
Wasn't enough. It
wasn't. Yeah, Vegas is a joke.
Gambling is evil that way. Got to chase that dragon. I wanted to give an apology. We actually did record one. So when you guys see the episodes, you're actually going to see that they're missing. The last episode with Lauren was, I believe, episode 61 in the numerical order, or episode 62 maybe. Let me check real quick. We're going to skip one because I actually did record an episode before I realized my recorder wasn't going to work. Let's see here. our last episode together was Cat Sticks. Remember Cat Sticks?
Yeah. That Describe legs.
That was our last episode together. I believe. So episode, actually, this is going to be episode 64. So episode 63 or 2, you'll notice that we're missing one. I can't figure out which one it is right now because I wrote the wrong one the day I recorded it. I recorded an episode with my friend Jonathan Orozco. You remember from way, way back when we first started the podcast. He came on. We did some video game reviews. We talked about the Xbox. We talked about he told a really scary story about a ghost his sister used to see when she was little. Could not use any of it. It ended up none of it, the recording, I couldn't use any of it because the recorder wasn't working.
Oh, my God.
So we recorded a whole episode. So my apologies to Jonathan Orozco, and I want to have him. And in honor of the fact that he drove all the way out here and everything, I'm going to retire that number. So that episode number will not be used, and we'll just skip ahead. And if I can ever – I don't think I'll be able to, but if I ever recover that data, we will put that episode out. But
dang, that sucks.
Yeah, he came down one day. He had a break from school. Mm-hmm. He works with autistic children as his job. He's going to school to better himself, you know, to get his master's degree. He's doing all this stuff. So he took time out to come all the way down here, recorded it, and then I couldn't put it out. So I wanted to give a huge – definitely the most disappointing thing that's ever happened on this podcast was not being able to use that. So I apologize, Jonathan, because we had a good time recording and he's always a good guest. So hopefully he will forgive us and be back soon. He wasn't mad, but I still feel really, really bad. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to say that while this is on my – well, that was on my mind. So here we go. We're going to go into our best of 2014. 2014 was a weird year there's a lot going on as far as pop culture. There's a lot going on. So we're just going to go and give some of our best ofs, like, you know, things that we really, really enjoyed this year. It doesn't have to necessarily be what was the number one thing, but something you really, really enjoyed, or what was your favorite thing of this year. And you, Caitlin, realized you didn't see any movies this year.
I didn't. I realized that as I searched, because I was like, well, I've seen some movies. And then I searched like best of 2014, like everything that was in the theaters. And I was just scrolling through and I was like, nope.
So let me name some movies and tell me if you saw them.
No, it's going to be a no.
Interstellar.
No.
Big Hero 6.
No, I know. Shame.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
No.
Godzilla.
No, I didn't even see it. We were going to go see it together and...
As excited you were about the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
X-Men.
No. I don't even know why you're testing me right now. It's going to be a no.
22 Jump Street.
No.
The Lego Movie.
Yes.
You saw, there you go.
Yes, but I watched it recently for the first time, and I was actually very impressed.
Yeah, it was...
Because I was hesitant on seeing it, because I thought it was going to be a little bit lame. And also, I think once everyone else saw it and they sung the Everything is Awesome song... It kind of turned me off just wanting to see it in general, because I was like, wow, that must be really irritating. Mm-hmm. But when I saw it, I kind of put that aside.
I'm glad you said that, because let's skip ahead. I'm going to skip ahead because the Lego Movie is one of my favorite movies of the year. Mm-hmm. Again, I was surprised because I thought, oh, how much – my daughter wanted to see it because she's into Legos. She makes stop motion Lego movies. So she was, you know, this was right in her wheelhouse the whole year. She saw the preview and that was, she's like, when is that movie coming out? And it came out early in the year. I think it was like February or March. It came out really early. Mm-hmm. And I just saw it and I really made me laugh. There were so many jokes in there for the parents. And I remember laughing really, 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 really hard at the Lando Calrissian, Billy Dee Williams cameo, and I think I was the only person in the theater laughing that hard. But
I loved the Batman character.
Batman was such a jerk.
And then I loved when the Falcon came in and Star Wars was in there for like a minute.
Just half a second.
And I was like, because their Star Wars Legos are really popular.
Yes,
so
that's right.
I was waiting the whole movie for something.
Now, speaking of what we were talking about, a jerk move on Warner Brothers' part, because Warner Brothers owns DC Comics, mm-hmm. they didn't want the Marvel characters in there. They were originally they wanted to have like the Lego Marvel characters just do a cameo. And Warner Brothers was like, nope, because that's like the enemy. So they didn't want to have him in the movie. So,
well, I guess that would make sense. Like, think about
it. But I mean, that would be
it sucks. Because for all the viewers,
that'd be
everyone,
one time you could have like Spider-Man and Batman together.
Together. It would be hilarious.
Yeah.
And kids would do that anyway.
Yeah.
Kids aren't like, well, Spider-Man can't play with Batman.
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
Like, Spider-Man can definitely play with Batman.
I love that Jonah Hill and what's his name? Good looking guy.
Will Arnett?
No, Will Arnett was Batman. Channing Tatum was Superman, was the voice of Superman.
Oh, okay,
And how the Green Lantern was just kind of like, hey, can we be friends? Just really super goofy. But Everything is Awesome is my song of the year.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. But I would agree.
Because once you see how it's used in the movie, and it's this brainwashing tactic, and it's like you're just kind of brainwashing the mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's super catchy.
And people use it when they're like frustrated. Like they're like, oh, everything is awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
It's supposed to be self-soothing.
Yeah, yeah. I've done it at work when I'm like, when just to be a smartass, when things just go to hell, you're just like, mm-hmm. why don't you go? Everything is awesome.
Yeah, exactly.
You slowly sing it.
Yeah. But I loved the casting that they did for the voice acting, because I feel like the characters were built around the actors and actresses.
Yeah.
Like Batman is the perfect example, I think, because I feel like they built Batman's character to be Will Arnett. So like Will Arnett was Batman.
By the way, my favorite movie Batman of all time beats Michael Keaton, beats Christian Bale. That was like just Batman being a jerk.
Batman Lego.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Marissa actually had to watch all the Batman movies for class. So we watched – I watched The Dark Knight and The Dark Knight Rises with her. She watched the other ones and mm-hmm. I just came in at the end. But like there are so many parts of that movie that are like – it's nice because I feel like Spider-Man, as we were talking about earlier, is a film that's kind of – they have like a comedic approach, mm-hmm. but Batman doesn't do that. It's they so only dark, yeah. they only have like one or two things, like in the whole movie, like one or two lines, and like of course like Heath Ledger as the Joker like had a lot of those because he's the Joker, like it's expected. But like especially from Batman, my favorite line is when the guy like in the very beginning of The Dark Knight Rises, and he's like, "Well, no." Yeah, so Dark Rise, he's like, well, what makes us so different? And he's like, I'm not wearing hockey pants. And it's like, it's so good. And then, but to actually see Batman, like, be an ass the entire movie is great. Because I feel like that's just
By the way, the Batman song on that was almost my song of the year.
So funny. So funny.
Darkness. No parents. Yeah. They really did a great job with that movie. And it hit that sweet spot where, like I said, it wasn't just for the kids. They were putting a lot of jokes in there for the adults, and it really, really worked. And they really made it look like somebody just made this giant stop Lego motion.
Motion Lego. Exactly. Movie. One of the reasons why I didn't want to see it is because I thought they were going to combine, like, I don't know, like Legos with elements, and I thought it was going to be weird. Like, for example, like water. But in the Lego movie, all the water was Lego.
Lego water.
It was so cool. Yeah, like, and it was just like rolling and moving and like everything like coming apart and like rebuilding. Because water is like an
Well, it's the hardest to animate, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So like just seeing that and how they animated it with blocks is like so impressive.
Yeah, it was
and
really cool.
I loved it. I thought it was so cool.
So that's your movie of the year.
I would say the movie of the year, the ones that I've seen so far, because as far as it being impressive,
you said,
my friend, she wanted me to come to the movies with her, and I was like, okay, well, what are you seeing? She's like, well, me and my friend are going. You should join us. She's like, we're seeing The Fault in Our Stars, and I was like, and I was like, okay, I guess I'll go. And so, but the movie itself, I'm like, okay, like for any female, they're gonna get drawn in because it's emotional. But at the end, when spoiler alert. The boy dies. They were sobbing, and I didn't shed a tear. And I was like, I am the shittiest person.
No, you're not. No, you're not.
No, but I was just like, wow, everyone is crying, and I'm not crying.
Everyone is crying.
Everyone is crying.
that's just a movie I would never watch.
No.
Just never watch.
But I rewatched it, and I mean, like, it's – I enjoy the movie – but there are a lot of things I don't like about it. Like, I don't like when the main character is, like, the narrator, but in, like, cheesy ways.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they try to be funny.
Narration
and
can
it's
be,
narration.
Yeah, narration can be done, good or bad.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's bad. Yeah. I think it's bad narration. So
it's hard to pull off.
So I think that's my one thing is the narrating.
Anytime I do a narrating, I do the – there's. Have you ever seen the movie Blade Runner?
No.
Blade Runner is a movie. It is a huge cult following now.
Yeah.
At the time, it was kind of a bomb. Ridley Scott is the guy who directed Alien. It's a movie about Harrison Ford plays a detective in the early 21st century, and he's going after these androids called replicants. And they've turned on their masters, and they're fugitives. And you know, it's very grim, like very dystopian view of like, you know, the early 21st century. And there are stories that originally, because the studio didn't like the way it came out originally, they started making all these cuts and stuff, and they basically took it out of Ridley Scott's hands and changed some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And Harrison Ford does a narration on it, and there's two schools of thought. There's two schools of thought that Harrison Ford just did a bad job because, you know, he just wasn't good at the reading part. Or the more popular theory is that Harrison Ford was like protesting what they were doing. So he purposely like chunked the narration. So in the very beginning, and I'll do this all the time, whenever anybody talks about narration, this is what always pops into my head. It's Harrison Ford. Like the opening narration is, they don't advertise for killers. That's me. Ex-cop. Ex-Blade Runner. That's what I always think when I think of like,
that sounds cheesy.
Really, really
awful,
bad, really, really bad narration. So I kind of, because I like Harrison Ford.
Believe the second thing?
I hope so.
Yeah.
But as Harrison Ford's gotten older, and some of the movies I've seen him make, and some of the now he's just kind of grumpy. You know,
yeah.
He just kind of mumbles all of his lines. I'm like,
might be that he just stuffs so,
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Well, you know, that's hard. It's hard to read and make it sound.
Yeah.
Like when you hear someone who reads well, that's a really good skill. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know. I want to side with Harrison Ford here.
Yeah.
Here, let me
pull up the audio of it.
Let me see. See if I can find
it. I was going to ask if you could, because I've never heard it.
You keep talking.
Okay.
Go to the next thing, and I'm going to see if I can find
it. Sure. We can talk about television, because I'm more big on TV series than movies.
Yeah, go for it.
So something I was really big on this year, my brother got me into Attack on Titan, and I know that I've talked about it.
Oh, yeah.
On the show, but I wanted to bring it up because it kind of...
They're making a movie,
Yeah, I was going to talk about that. But it kind of ignited this appreciation for anime that I've never had before. Mm-hmm. I've always disliked it, which I have no good reason to. Except there's good anime, and I feel like there's like really bad anime. Mm-hmm. But I feel like Attack on Titan was brilliant. I feel like the story was really impressive. The animation was amazing. And they announced a movie, and they've already casted it. And so if you look it up online, it's actually kind of funny because people are bashing it, and they're like, "This is going to be awful," and it's lame because there's. I don't think it's going to be. It's going to be really interesting.
People always try to. I mean, look at the Star Wars trailer. The Star Wars trailer was a minute long, and people were already like,
"No one likes to like anything."
Nope.
And me and Wes have had these conversations where it's like, no one wants to just like something.
Yeah.
Like everyone wants to find something bad about anything. So like, there is just no like pure joy or like enjoyment of anything anymore. Everyone wants to find something that they can, I don't know, critique, or they could be judgmental. But anyway, on the subject of Attack on Titan, there's actually a car commercial that used – it's actually really interesting. I'm going to look it up too. They have the car like weaving through a mountainside. Mm-hmm. And there's the Titans that they had animated that are like trying to grab the car. And it's really interesting. So that – in my opinion I think that's kind of how.
So, explain to the kids what Attack on Titan. What is the theme?
So, Attack on Titan is.
And you can find this on Netflix, by the way.
Yeah, you can watch the whole thing on Netflix. This is what I did, which I wouldn't recommend. If you're a responsible human, just break it up into like a week, because I just spent a whole like 2 days just doing nothing but sitting on my couch. But anyway. These Titans are these beings that just are pure bloodlust, and they appear to have like human form, but they take on the form of they're mostly look like men, and they're really, really large. So they're just giants, and they just eat humans. And so there's this city that they've built, this really tall wall. So for like years, they've been protected by the Titans because in the first episode, it kind of talks about the history, and like the Titans almost wiped them out, and like the humans almost became extinct, but they were able to kind of like band together, build this wall, and they all lived safely in the city. And then finally the wall is breached, and that's kind of what the whole thing is about. Mm. Is how the Titans are finally entering the city. And there's actually layers of a wall. So there's like the outer wall, and then there's like a city that lives in the inner wall, which is like where the king lives. And so they're like more well off. And so there's a lot of politics, but it's really, really good. And there's a lot of blood. It's a lot of blood.
Anime, I think the reason that we don't take it seriously. I think I had the same problem. It took me a long time to warm up, and I still can't say I'm in a place where I'll seek it out.
Don't seek it out, yeah. But if there's something that's recommended for me, yeah, like this, because yeah. I wouldn't have never gone to like the anime section of Netflix and just watched it. But it's because like I never really liked Dragon Ball Z growing up, or like Naruto, or like any of those things. Or like I remember Code Lyoko was like my brother's favorite thing on Cartoon Network, and I hated it. Oh my god! Like it was the character design creeped me out. It was all of it was bad. Anyway, if you liked it, I'm really sorry, but I thought it was awful. Anyway. So like, that's like my first impression as a child. Cause when you're watching like cartoon, like networks, that's especially the Cartoon Network, that's what you're getting. So I don't feel like you're getting like quality anime. Mm-hmm. And I feel like Attack on Titan was like a really intense, like animated process where like it's really well done. The animation is amazing. There's a lot of like really funny moments, but just because like the Titans are animated hilariously because they're just like big, stupid bozos that just like eat everything. But anyway, the if you just go to Google and you search Attack on Titan car commercial, it'll be the first thing that pops up, and it's really cool. So that's kind of like the first dip into what I think the film is going to be like, because it's live action, but there's still the Titans, which they have to animate. So it's an interesting combination. And then I wrote, what episode of what series made me cry this year? The episode in American Horror Story, Freak Show.
I never watch it.
You don't watch it?
Mm-mm.
It's okay. But when Twisty, the clown who kills everybody, it's the episode where it kind of like reveals his story. It is the saddest thing. And I was feeling so sorry for this serial killer clown. And it was so bizarre. But like, that's why I love that show so much. Because sometimes they'll have flop episodes that are just like not very good.
Mm-hmm.
But like this episode, clearly like the writing was just amazing because they knew how to like make their viewers feel like vulnerable and sorry for like a monster, which is like, I feel like it could be really hard to do.
Yeah.
So like where there's this guy like killing so many people and like kidnapping children and just like he's a sicko. It's just weird. And then it gets into his story and like what's happened to him and how like when he was a clown and like I don't even know if it was like a circus, just like a freak show, all the people there didn't like him, and he had like kind of like a mental disability. He was like a little dumb, and so they were all like making fun of him, and they were like, oh, we called the cops and said that you're like touching the children inappropriately. And he was like, what? And he like got all sad and ran away. And when he went home to like flee to his mother, apparently she was dead. And so he's living by himself, and he was like trying to like still make the children happy, but like no one wanted to like be around him. And so he tried to kill himself. And he just like shot himself in the mouth, but he didn't die. So that's why he wore that mask, because his mouth was all messed up and he was like a tortured human. And it was so sad. And I cried. And everyone was like, Caitlin, you're messed up. This guy is terrible. But I was like, rest in peace, Twisty. The next, because he ended up dying that episode. Because there's like this demon from hell who comes back and like takes like sad, like carnival freaks. It's this old plot thing. I won't get into it. But the whole day at work, I was just like, rest in peace, Twisty. Everybody, rest in peace, Twisty. It's all I could talk about. It was intense. I really felt something.
It was like a fire at a circus.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite TV show, or should I?
You know, this, my TV, I didn't watch a lot of new TV. I try to get into Gotham early on.
Oh, my mom watches it. She likes it a lot.
It's okay. It's just, it's like the prequels of Star Wars. I want to see Batman. I don't really care about how
the rest of the stuff.
Yeah. And it's just, it's personal preference. People like the show. It's really well done. It's shot well and everything. It just wasn't something that I felt like, I think I'm going to wait till it's all out on Netflix or something.
And just like binge watch it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I missed True Detective because I kept waiting for my wife, and then my wife was like, well, I didn't want to watch that. And I was
jerk.
So I still haven't caught up and watched True Detective, which I think a lot of people are going to be like, why isn't that your favorite thing this year? So my favorite thing this year was, I actually had a couple things on TV. My favorite two shows, that came out this year. One was Silicon Valley on HBO, which is fantastic. If you haven't seen it, it's about, you have to watch it.
Is it about plastic surgery?
No, it's about this kid who basically invents what is the next Napster.
Okay.
And
oh my God. Napster?
Yeah.
Remind me what Napster is.
Remember Napster? You could download it.
Holy crap. Okay, that's what I thought that was, but I was like, am I wrong? No. I haven't heard Napster in years.
He basically invents this thing that's where you can compress the way files are compressed now, like MP3s and all that. He basically makes it so that this can, like, he basically changes it so that, like, you can download, like, I mean, it'll hold like billions of songs. Like, it's just, you have to watch it. So it becomes this thing where everybody in Silicon Valley now wants, he's working at this little startup out of his house with like some friends. It's another guy who's like funding him with some friends. And Kumail Nanjiani is in there, and Kumail Nanjiani hosts one of my favorite podcasts, The X-Files Files, but he's on the show. And it's just this like misfit group of nerds, and they're trying to like, now everybody wants a piece of their company because they invent like the thing that's just going to change everything.
Yeah.
It's really funny, and it's also really insightful, and it's funny in a way that I think like shows like, I think it captures that awkward nerdiness better than I think shows like, people keep telling me about The Big Bang Theory, and I've seen it, and it's okay. It's done nothing.
Oh my God.
But I think
the worst.
I think Silicon Valley really captures that in a way that I think they're trying to on Big Bang Theory, but I think
it's better.
They're different shows.
Because when you related it to Big Bang Theory just now.
No, you need to watch. You need to watch. My second favorite show that came out this year, and I keep recommending, please, people, start watching Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I know it's premiered last year, but it's in its second season now. Very funny. One of the funniest shows out there. Really good ensemble cast. And it's on Fox. Maybe that's why nobody's watching it. But
true.
But it's really, really, really funny. Really great. A lot of good. The whole cast is good. And there's a lot of really good writing and really funny one-liners. And it's a very quick 20-minute show.
Oh, okay.
My second favorite show this year was Andy Daly, who's going to come up. Andy Daly, really great comic. If you don't know Andy Daly, seek him out. But you've seen him in a million things. If I showed you a picture of Andy Daly, you'd be like, oh, yeah, that guy. Mm-hmm. He's on a show on Comedy Central called Review. And it's basically, I think it's based on an Australian TV show. And what it is it's a guy who just, he's a critic, and he just decides he's going to review, like, everyday things. So in the very pilot episode, he reviews cocaine.
Oh,
so he
my God. Okay.
He totally gets hooked on cocaine, and it's hilarious.
Okay, so what's called Review?
It's called Review. It's on.
That's amazing. Is it on Netflix?
It's on Netflix now.
Andy Daly. Have you watched Drunk History?
Yes.
That is the best. Like, there are some good episodes.
I would not be surprised if Andy Daly doesn't show up on that, because he runs in the same circles as a lot of the guys that show up. a lot of the UCB theater guys here in LA. But yeah, please check out Review. Oh. It is awesome, and it's very, very funny. Yeah. You saw a picture of him?
Yeah.
You're like, yeah, I know who that guy.
Yeah.
He was the principal in Eastbound and Down. He's been in like a bunch of Will Ferrell movies.
Okay.
He's been in a lot of stuff. But he in his own right, he has a stand up bit where he just does. Oh, I got to find it. I want to play it for you. It's not from this year, but I want to play it. He does a stand-up bit where he just talks like in hack comedy, what's the word I'm looking for? He basically speaks in just like catchphrases, like hack comedy catchphrases.
Okay.
And it is the funniest thing, because he's not saying anything. Mm-hmm. He's only speaking in like, in cliches. And it's really good.
That sounds great.
But yeah, if you get a chance, please watch a Review. I think it's coming back for a second season.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. I'm going to have to watch it. I feel like Marissa really liked that.
Yeah, it's just, and he's just so good at playing like the hapless. This is a little bit from Andy Daly.
I got to tell you, I don't know, you know. All this stuff that's going on in the world today, it's like, hello.
So dumb.
I mean, seriously. I mean, come on. If that's the way it's going to be, no thank you.
It's not even.
Really, seriously. It's like, you got to be kidding me. Give me a break. I mean, it's really nuts. You got guys over here going, hey, check it out, you know. And you got guys over here going, hey, what do you think, you know.
Andy Daly, love him. he keeps it up for like 5 minutes where you're just like,
that's intense. Because like, he's not even talking about anything. It's
all cliches.
That's awesome.
It's awesome. Andy, I'm gonna sidetrack here. I don't think I asked you this because I know what your answer is gonna be. But I thought I'd give a shout out to other podcasts and really think about like what my favorite podcast was this year. I know yours is The Superiority Complex. There were a lot of there's so many. It's such a saturated market. And trust me, I don't think of that every time I'm uploading an episode of our show. But Andy Daly, who we just talked about, did a really great podcast earlier in the year. And he called it the Andy Daly Podcast Pilot Project. And what it was is every week he played a different character, and they were all supposed to have podcast pilots. Like, this was going to be the first episode of a new pilot. They were,
is that
new
what podcast we were listening to earlier?
We listened to the one. It was the one with the travel bug, remember? Oh, the episode was called The Travel Bug, and it starred Paula Tompkins, Matt Gourley, Matt Besser, and Andy Daly, all playing different German, well, one was Swiss, but different German guys, and they were on a travel show, and it was H.R. Giger.
H.R. Giger was the funniest thing ever.
It was played by Matt Gourley. Matt Besser played the Pope Benedict, and Paula Tompkins, one of my favorite comedians, played Werner Herzog, and then Andy Daly was August Lintz. And seek it out. It's free on iTunes, but some of the episodes are a little racy, and just letting you know that some of them, Andy Daly can get pretty twisted, but it's all really funny. But the episode, The Travel Bug, is just one of the, it is literally one of the funniest things I've ever heard in my whole life. To the point where I had to, there was once where I was listening to it on the elliptical machine at the gym. I had to stop because I was laughing so hard. I had to, like, literally stop working out for a minute, and then. At another point in that same day, I had to stop the car and pull over, which only happened once before. and it was Patton Oswalt talking about The Magician. That's the only other time that ever happened where I had to stop the car because I was laughing so hard. But that is my absolute favorite podcast of the year, was the Andy Daly pilot podcast, our podcast pilot project. So check it out, and seek out that episode called The Travel Bug. It's really, really, really good. So that was my podcast pick for the year. We both talked about neither of us listened to any music. Did you settle upon like an album that you really enjoyed this year, or?
Well, I wrote, I'm definitely not all about that bass. Cause I feel like that song has taken the world by storm. Did you know it was nominated for a Grammy?
You know what? That's fine. Go back and look at some of the Grammy nominations. They're never.
But what? Sorry. But, I feel like, and like I wrote things, cause I feel like all the music that I listen to still mm-hmm. is like still all the same music. I mean, like one of my favorite bands, Alt-J, released their new album. I pre-ordered it a long time ago, and I finally had it downloaded to my iPhone, and I wasn't very impressed. And I was kind of disappointed because I really liked their music. So like there was that yeah. happened. I really like another band called Little Green Cars. That one's nice too. It sounds like the band name, I think, sounds a little annoying.
I'm surprised you weren't going to say. I was waiting for you to say Taylor Swift 1989 is your album of the year. I really was.
But what brings up Basic Bitch, and I think that's why I said it in the first place, is because I read somewhere, it was online, it said, like, I never thought I was Basic Bitch until I heard Blank Space play in the club and I lost my shit. I was like, that's funny because I remember when I first discovered that song, I think I played it over and over again like 8 times. And then I realized what I had succumbed to and I had to back off. But it's because her stuff is so catchy.
It's funny that's you said, why. You want to see what my runner-up for Song of the Year was?
What?
I'm going to play it for you. Here we go. This is my runner-up. Oh, no. Wait, there's an ad. God dang it. I hate this.
I hate this. I also said Beyonce's visual album.
Oh, Beyonce. Yeah. Isn't that the one she dropped just in the middle of the night when nobody was paying attention? Or was that last year?
No, that was... it was a big deal. Because okay. It was all
so she
music
was ready
videos.
For, okay, wait.
Yeah.
Because you know I'm all about that bass. About the bass. No trouble. I'm
now,
all about that bass.
I want to clear my version. This is the version I was voting for Song of the Year. This is by Kate Davis, who plays the bass. And she does a great job. If you listen to the song, she does a really, really... Wait, I just like the way she says part this part. Listen. Kate Davis is an actual... There's a band called Postmodern Jukebox. And much in the way of the vein of, like, Richard Cheese purposely goes out and finds songs that would never translate, Gin and Juice. And he'll do them in a lounge style.
Oh, my God.
Postmodern Jukebox just takes songs that are on the radio and turns them into, like, these really cool jazz tunes. And they have an album out. And I think it's called Historical Misappropriation, which I think is a great title. And that song is on there, and he has all these guests. They do a version of Living on a Prayer that's in like a New Orleans blues.
Oh.
And it is really awesome. He has all these really good vocalists. But that was going to be my runner up for Song of the Year. And then my other album of the year that I really enjoyed this year because it bonded me and my daughter was Weird Al Yankovic's Mandatory Fun. Because Weird Al was the biggest thing, like when that dropped in the 80s, all the nerds was like, oh my God, he understands me. And here he is, like, it's the first, like, time a comedy album's gone to number one. He just got all this great, I mean,
What songs did he cover?
Oh, he did Blurred Lines. He called it Word Crimes, and it's all about, like, having bad grammar.
Oh, I've heard that.
And he has Handy, which is a cover. I forgot who the cover is, but it's, he had one called, the one that Isabella likes is called Sports Theme. And it's just, like, a general, like, it's supposed to be like a sports chant, but like a college fight song. Mm-hmm. And it's just like basically say, but Isabella likes a part at the end where it just says, we're great and you suck. And that's really what her favorite part is. it's really, really great. Here, I'll play. I cannot think of the title of this song, but he's what song is this? You'll tell me, because I don't know the music that the kids all listen to. You know what?
Gigi Watt. It's Fancy. But
Fancy,
Iggy.
That's...
I'm a craftsman. Remodeling is my only passion.
It's my passion.
And I'm the greatest in the business. Want referrals, yo. My clientele will bear you witness.
Right, right.
I can help on your door jam stick. Huh? There is nothing in the world I can't fix.
Yeah.
I do tiles. I do stone. I do bricks. Call me a commercial Nova with my bag of tricks.
Bag of tricks.
Where you go when your disposal is rusted.
The look on Caitlin's face is awesome because she doesn't know whether to be amused or not. But the great part of it is you really realize how crappy pop music is when you hear somebody like do that.
Yeah.
That's really what, and I think I saw that in your eyes. Mm. The horror of you going, I'm a basic bitch.
I'm a basic
bitch. That was the look on your face.
I had the look of being strucken by basic bitch.
Yeah, stricken or strucken?
Strucken. Stricken.
That is a word crime.
Struck and stricken.
So that was my runner-up. But album of the year, do you want to know what my album of the year was?
Yes.
What was your favorite album? Did you pick? Did we get to yours? I cut you off.
I would say album of the year would probably be Beyoncé's. Only because I think it's really cool that she made music videos for every single song.
Nobody's doing that anymore.
So it was neat that she like had her music and then a music video to pair with every song. So like, for example, when I bought her album off of iTunes, it also downloaded all of the music videos.
You just get to watch Beyoncé all the time. There's nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong.
It's actually a blessing.
She is.
But now there's like Team Bay and like everyone's like Queen Bee, and it kind of, the world transformed.
Okay.
Anyway, moving on.
I don't know what that means. You just started. It's like
I don't know what that means.
It's like you started speaking Chinese.
Chinese.
I didn't know.
What's your favorite album?
My favorite album of the year. I really thought about this because I was gonna do Historical Misappropriation, and then I was gonna cheat. There's a couple albums I was looking forward to this year. I really like Jenny Lewis, and she had a new album that came out. And my wife went to. I bought her tickets for her birthday to go see Jenny Lewis. The album's been in my queue. I bought it. I have not listened to it. This was really a year of looking back for me, where I was listening to stuff I had listened to, and then I just kind of fallen away. Last year I was listening to new bands all over the place. I was going to cheat again. The Kinks had a reissue this year. It was like a new best of Kinks. They remastered a lot of it. It sounded great. So that you're not going to have, just look for the best of Kinks, you know, and then for the 2014 release, they remastered a lot of stuff and it covers a lot of their eras. It's not just like the early 60s, so I highly recommend that. But my album of the year, because I thought, what did I get the most pleasure out of listening to this year? Mine was the Awesome Mix Volume 1 from Guardians of the Galaxy. It was the Guardians of the Galaxy soundtrack, because these are 40-year-old pop songs, and they don't, if you just listen to them like independently, you're like, well, they don't really go with one another. But when you realize, when you watch the movie, and it's not really spoiling anything, these are all songs off a mixtape that the main character's mom made for him when he was a boy. Mm-hmm. And now that he's older, he still has his mixtape. And so these are songs that he listens to. They're very, very good 70s pop. And if you don't think that that's what girls in the 70s would listen to, my cousin Margaret, I told her, you should see this movie just because of the soundtrack. And I posted the trailer to her page. And she ended up buying two of the songs off of iTunes. She's like, oh, my God, I used to love that song when I was growing up, and I forgot all about it. And,
yeah, no, I love that music.
Yeah, so that was my album of the year, just because I think it introduced that kind of that style of music to a lot of other. And there was so many great. There was Bowie. It's not just, mm-hmm. There was, Jackson 5. There was all this stuff on there. And it was a nice little. And the fact that it went to number one was great, too. I kind of like that. That was my album of the year. What do you got? What else you got?
That's about it. I mean, as far as TV, I only have one more for TV, and then you've. I'm good.
What do you got for TV?
The other series I watch, like all the other basic bitches, is Walking Dead. And I was waiting for them to do something really risky and really dark and like gross. And especially with like that Terminus, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. that cannibalistic community. I was waiting for them to do something crazy, and they didn't really do anything until Bob... got captured and
spoiler alert.
I don't care. You should have watched it by now. If you haven't, you have a problem.
yeah, maybe people are busy or have a job.
No, you have a problem.
Or they have school.
Yeah, I'm all about spoilers today. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, you spoiled everything. I'm never going to watch American Horror Story.
Because Twisty.
Because I know that Clowny gets injured and he's out for the season. Wait, that's something else.
Anyway, They were eating Bob's leg, and I feel like that's what I was waiting for The Walking Dead to do, because it was a nice contrast between zombies and humans doing exactly what the zombies do, but mm-hmm. they still... So it's like where the sickness is not just like a physical thing, it's like a mental thing.
Yeah.
So it was interesting, and I really liked that.
I really liked this season. I felt like it's the best one they've had in a little while, mm-hmm. but... my honors for like my favorite show this year that didn't premiere this year. It was the new season of Doctor Who was great. And the guy who's playing Doctor Who, Peter Capaldi, I'm going to have a whole show based. We're just going to review this season after the Christmas special. But for me, that was like the most improved show. It was really a great season. The character of Clara, who is the companion, was severely underwritten last season, but she's a really likable character, and the actress who plays her really well. And so she got a lot more to do this year. And a lot of the show was just really heartbreaking. And because it was a new doctor stepping into the role, they really took time to like explore the character, which they hadn't done in a while. Mm-hmm. And it's an older guy playing him, and he has really good chemistry with the girl. And it was a really, really, really great season. So, if you're going to pick one where you don't want to go all the way back to the first season, which is out now, 8 years ago, this last season would be a good place to start, watching it. You'll have to fill in the backstory a little bit for yourself, but, Wikipedia is good for all of that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that was one of, there's very few shows I tune into every week. Doctor Who is one, The Walking Dead is another, Mad Men is another, Game of Thrones. Those are like my four where I'm like, I've got to see these like every week, and yeah. not wait for Netflix or, binge watch. So, yeah, that was my favorite. That was one of my favorite things this year was that show had such a turnaround. So, that was one of my favorite things. I also wanted to mention my movie of the year, for the longest time going in, Lego Movie really started the year off strong. Then for most of the summer, I felt like Captain America was going to be my movie of the year because it took this comic book character and dropped him in kind of like this political thriller, and they made it really serious, and they made it have implications for all of like the rest of the Marvel universe going forward. There was a lot of stuff going on. Chris Evans does a really good job with the role. It was just comic booky enough, but it was also just serious enough that I think people who aren't necessarily into comic book movies could get into it. They pulled some stuff off that should look silly, like the Falcon flying around. He looked really cool. They did all this stuff. It was a lock. It was a lock for my number one movie of the year. And then Guardians of the Galaxy dropped. And Guardians of the Galaxy is one of those things where it did like Star Trek, where it got people that would never go see a movie like that. Mm-hmm. The trailer was the perfect way to market because it explained who the Guardians of the Galaxy were. I didn't know who they were. Renee came and told me, hey, they're making a Guardians of the Galaxy movie. I was like, who are the Guardians of the Galaxy? And that worked out. And then so that, but they got people. It was such a good movie. It has something for everybody. The soundtrack we've already talked about being great. It was fun. It was funny. It had a lot of heart. And it was just what a summer movie should be. It was fun. It was really, really a good time. Mm-hmm. Some of my honorable mentions, this is a good year for animated movies. Oddly enough, not one Pixar movie came out this year, but still some great animated, the Lego movie. The Book of Life, while the writing was a little underwritten, but I felt like the visuals, I don't know if you saw that. If you get a chance, if it's still playing like in a theater somewhere, go see it because the visuals really need to be seen on a big screen. You would love it. Mm-hmm. The color palette is so, it's all based on like Dia de los Muertos, the artwork.
Yeah, I when I saw the trailer for that, I was turned off to the plot.
Yeah. It's not the strongest. Because
I was like, oh, they both want to marry this girl. Oh, no. And it was just like,
you know, they go more into it because it's really a bet that goes on. Yeah. It's like the supernatural bet. There's really more than the trailer led me to be.
Yeah, and the trailer just made it seem like a very, like, strange, like, love life very, film. Yeah, and very, I was like, this is weird.
Weird love. And there is a little bit of weird love triangle in there. But so much of the color palette, everything they use and the way the visuals are just amazing. Mm-hmm. It looks really good. And my daughter ended up loving it, too. So that was a plus. And then Big Hero 6, man. You talk about a movie that I was not expecting a lot from. The trailer looked cute enough, but then the trailer for Frozen suckered me too. So I was just going in like, okay. And it ended up being one of the best superhero movies I've seen in a while.
Really?
I mean, it's up there with your Captain America and your
wow. Okay.
And your it's not as good as far as animated superheroes. I wouldn't put it on the same level as The Incredibles, mm-hmm. but it's close and it gets really, really good. And the visuals are great. And the story's good. And one of the voices from Silicon Valley is in there. Just the villain, like the way he moved, his look, everything, the design, because it's based on like, there's a little bit of anime in there, and then there's a little bit of like,
yeah, like how it's like this hybrid, like Meet the Robinsons was kind of like that.
Yeah. There's like a hybrid, but yeah, and yeah. a lot of heart, and the character of Baymax is just great, like one of the great, all-time movie characters to go.
I'm gonna watch that then because definitely. I don't know why I haven't. I just haven't gone to the movies at all this year. I don't know. What's wrong with me?
I want to throw in just because do you have anything else? Because I'm going to throw in a couple more categories.
All right, I'm done.
A couple more categories. I didn't, you know what? Because of our move, I've been still collecting comics, so they're all sitting on the shelf. So I don't feel qualified to do like my favorite comic book of the year because I feel like for 6 months I've been out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And, I have so much back reading to do. It's not even funny. So we'll put a placeholder there, but I wanted to do, my favorite video game this year. Mm. The Xbox One is finally starting to get more titles, which thank God, cause it was a lean year up until Christmas time. Now all the good titles are coming out. And my favorite game this year is going to be a game that was my favorite game last year. And that's Grand Theft Auto V because they've remastered it. They've remastered it for Xbox. And they didn't just remaster. I mean, they went back and really did. I mean, they did a great. It looks so amazing mm-hmm. on the Xbox. You can see the reflection of the lights and the cars. You can see the reflection on the water, the way everything moves. They redid everything from the ground up, and now it has first-person mode. So if you like Grand Theft Auto and you're worried about how it looks on the next gen, go out and grab it. I'd say it's one of the first must-have games for the next generation consoles. And then my favorite board game, I wanted to talk about with my wife because we're going to do a board game review again. We have a bunch that we need to review. My favorite game this year, there was a couple that came out. We just started gaming this year, so I don't know how qualified I feel. But I wanted to throw this out. If you're looking to get into gaming, I'm going to recommend this really light game, and I'm picking it as my – I know there are better, more strategic games out there or deeper games. But there's a game out there called Machi Koro. Machi Koro is basically, it's really simple. I could teach it to you in like 5 minutes, Caitlin. We all have cards. We all have a pool of cards that we're picking from. And all the little cards have a building on them. Some are bakeries, some are wheat fields, some are forests, some are all, and they all have a number on them.
Mm-hmm.
We have two dice. You can either roll one or two, depending on what card you have. You roll the dice. Whatever number comes up activates that card. Each card is going to give you money. And what you're trying to do is buy other cards to help get more money. And then you have four cards off to the side that are part of your little town that you're trying to build. And as you buy money, you unlock each of these four cards, and they give you more powers. Once you have all four of those cards unlocked, your town, your city has become a metropolis, and you win the game. So it's basically Monopoly, mm-hmm. stripped down to its barest essentials, and anybody can learn it, and it's really fast and really quick, and it's really, really fun because it's that element of chance. I know a lot of people don't like that, but, mm-hmm. you know, it's dice, and the dice are making you money, and you're trying to strategize. Okay, I'm going to build this. Okay, this is going to be next. I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
And, again, you can teach it. My daughter can play it. And for people who are more into the more traditional, you only play Scrabble or you only play Monopoly or you only play Risk or, you know, even if you're into stuff like Cards Against Humanity or Apples to Apples, this is a more traditional game that anybody can pick up and play. You can play it with an old person. You can play it with a kid. Mm-hmm. As long as you can do basic math.
Yeah.
This is a really, really fun, and it's fast. It's not something you're going to sit there and grind out. And it came out this year, so that's why I really felt I wanted to nominate it as my game of the year. There are a couple of other really good games that came out this year, one of them being King of New York, which is a sequel to this game called King of Tokyo, where you're fighting. It's basically like Yahtzee with kaiju. You're basically rolling dice to make your monster fight somebody else, which is fun, but that's a little more complex. So that lost. And then there's another game called Five Tribes, which is a really, really, it's a little bit more of a deeper strategy game. And the reason it didn't make my list was because I talked about this elsewhere, but there are – it takes place in, like, the Arabian Nights, like, that era. And part of the game mechanic is the buying and selling of slaves, and they actually have cards with slaves on them. And it's really, really uncomfortable because the rest of the game is so colorful and so cool to look at, and then you just have, like, here's your slave card, and you need to sell these slaves and buy these slaves. And it was just really kind of an icky feeling. Like, the rest of the game is so awesome that I didn't feel – and I know some people are going to say, well, you know, that's historically appropriate and all that stuff. And, you know, hey, look, I know all of that. But for me to be able to sit down, if I want to introduce a game to somebody who's never played it and we just want to have fun.
Be like, here, let's sell some slaves.
Yeah, the last thing I want to see is like a line of – and apparently the Days of Wonder is the company that publishes it. And in the second printing, I think they're going to change it. Mm-hmm. So hopefully I'll be able to like write them and say, hey, look, is it okay? Is there any way we can swap these cards out for what – you know, for something else just because, you know – I'm just not comfortable with that whole element of the game. But other than that, it's really, really cool. Great strategy game, and it's a lot of fun. But for anybody who's just looking to get into the game, into gaming, I would say Machi Koro is the way to go. And that's going to wrap up our best of 2014.
Yes!
My favorite – did you have a favorite moment? What was your favorite thing that happened to you this year?
Oh, my God. Shoot. I don't know. I'd have to come back to that.
We'll be back after the break. All right. So everybody was wondering what the best thing that happened to Caitlin was. Best thing that happened to Caitlin this year was becoming the co-host of a very, very popular podcast.
That happened today, this year, today.
That happened this year, so you're welcome.
That happened today.
That happened today.
This year.
You came back.
Yeah.
It is our favorite time.
I've been waiting.
It is our favorite time of the year. It's our favorite time of the show. Are you ready?
Yes.
It is time for your
weekly trek up, except it's like monthly because we haven't been here.
It's like the monthlies.
Monthlies.
Let's talk about it. So this episode, we got to episode 8 in the, if you're following along on Netflix. Little Girls Made Of, the creepiest title ever.
Yeah. I didn't even know what to expect. Well, and I still.
Of course, sugar and spice and everything nice is the answer to that. That's the word that comes from.
No, I know.
But
it's definitely not sugar and spice.
Well, she was everything nice. She was easy on the eyes. Holy cow.
Oh, God, we'll get into that.
Let's talk. We got so much to cover. All right, so let's give you the backstory. Starship Enterprise is on a mission to, I think the planet's name is XO3, where Dr. Roger Corby has gone missing. Nurse Chapel is aboard, and she's very concerned because her former fiancé, I believe,
is Roger Corby.
They receive a message asking Captain Kirk to beam down to the planet alone. so that he, because he has something to show the captain that which of great import, and he's not sure the world or the universe is ready for what he has to say, so he wants the captain to discuss it with him first. Captain beams down with Nurse Chapel after she's heard on the radio by Dr. Corby, and he invites them down. They arrive. Nobody's there. They call two red shirts. And what will become a long tradition of calling red shirts, they call two red shirts down to the planet.
Spock, beam down two security men. Slash through two people to die instead of us. Exactly. He's like, Spock, beam down two security men. I was like, oh.
Send down two proxies.
Yes.
Because we, I'm not doing this myself. Yeah, so, you know, then through the course of the episode, you know, the security men obviously die. We find out that Roger Corby is creating androids.
Yes.
And he's created a very lovely android. In the, by the name of
Andrea.
Is it Andrea? Or
Andrea.
Yeah, the, Andrea, who is very, very easy on the eyes. In that really cool 60s, girls don't look like that anymore. Why is that?
What do you mean?
They just don't, I don't know. They don't look
They
like
don't
that.
Look good?
They're not that. They just look good in a different way, but they just don't look. There's something about those 60s girls.
60s girls, yeah, I agree.
I think they're just a little more meaty. They got a little more...
Girls today are more meaty?
No. Girls back then. They weren't afraid to be a little more curvaceous.
She wasn't meaty, though. She was super thin.
Was she? She seemed...
She just had a tiny waist.
Oh, maybe that's what it was.
She's had a tiny waist, so she was...
And
she
that
appeared.
Jumper. And those...
Okay. All right. I like
hold
when...
Hold on. Wait.
I've got something to say about that.
Let's finish it up. Of course, there has to be a duplicate Kirk, so Corby tries to make a duplicate Kirk... People die.
I was like, sorry.
And then at the end, we find that Corby himself is an android. He had crash landed on the planet, was about to die. And Lurch from Adam's family, that's who he is. That's who he played Lurch on the Lurch from Adam's family, stuck him in a machine and made him an android. And now he wants to create a race of androids. And what he basically wants to do is give humanity the gift of
immortality. But it's
really not.
Yeah.
So... Let's go into some show notes. The show was written by Robert Bloch, who was a very, very well-regarded author at the time. He had written the novel Psycho, upon which the movie Psycho was based.
Shoot.
This idea had to kind of be fleshed out by Roddenberry. Roddenberry had to do a lot of rewriting because the original story, again, like we talked about in the first season, nobody had seen the show yet, so they were writing blind for these characters. So Roddenberry had to rewrite everything to make
to fit know, like the characters
to fit
type.
The characters and fit the vision he had for the show, but they definitely wanted to keep. They didn't want to make it mad. So there was like this dance of trying to rewrite as much as possible, and then but still keep Robert Bloch's name there because they wanted it to have that weight, that gravity.
Yeah,
you know. And this caused some friction in the writing room because some of the writers thought that Roddenberry shouldn't be rewriting somebody like Robert Bloch. They should just leave it the way it was, and so. This caused some friction in the writing staff. I never know what to make of this episode. It's one that if given the choice, I'll skip. I don't think I ever realized how many phallic symbols there were until I watched this.
Oh, when he grabs
the whole thing is just one giant. But it makes
sense. He rips off like a rock, like a part of like the cave, like, and he's holding it, and it just looks like a
giant phallus,
like a big phallus.
So let's go. Let's start at the beginning. Like, what are your initial observations?
Okay,
on this?
So. When, just when I write notes, they're very honest. So when, what's her name? The nurse?
Nurse Chapel. Who, by the way, was having an affair with Gene Roddenberry. She had been in the original pilot. She was supposed to be the number, she would have been number two. She was supposed to be the captain's, you know, right-hand officer. And she was having an affair with Gene Roddenberry, I believe. And so he wrote that part for her. And then they said, no way, like. Get rid of that character. So they brought her back as, they put a blonde wig on her and they brought her back.
And she had brown hair, though.
Yeah.
It was sticking out from the bottom of her wig in one scene. It was really awkward. And I was like, what is that? And I was like, that's her hair. It's definitely her hair. It was like in a little ponytail. Anyway, when they're on the radio and they hear Dr. Corby and he's like, oh, yeah, it's Dr. Corby paging in, and it pans to her, and I write, when the woman closes her eyes in sexual relief. Like, she's just like, yes.
Finally. Well, wait till she gets down to that cave.
Okay. So, and then what else do I have? The Spock beamed down two security men, and which I thought was really funny.
The red shirts.
Because now that I've been watching it, I understand the red shirts. And when they are beamed down and they're both just kind of like, they're all dumb. I'm like, oh my God, here we go. And then they die so fast too. Yeah. They don't waste any time.
The one guy takes a tumble.
And then so I'm taking like character notes, like trying to keep track of who everyone is. And so I wrote, Andrea, side bitch. Is what I, but then she was like, oh, have you had any relations with her? It's kind of what he's getting at. And I put star, there's no sexual relationship with Andrea, but I'm going to make her wear hardly any clothes.
But you know, there's a really nice bit of writing, and I don't know who gets the credit when he says, do you think I could ever love a robot? And she says, did you?
Like, in other words, she's like, did you?
Yeah. Are you in the robot, you know, making baby androids?
Oh my God. And then I liked when, like, at first my favorite Kirk moment was when he tossed Andrea and there was like an unnecessary roll. And I was like, so drama, like when he was dodging, the first guy who was trying to shoot him and he took Andrea and then he was like, oh, I'm going to shoot her. And then he threw her and then he wasn't dodging anything. He just decided to like somersault across the room.
Captain Kirk roll.
And then I thought, which was really funny, because when I first saw that guy who you said,
Lurch, I think it was Ruck.
I said, he looks like The Rock meets Frankenstein. And when I found out that his name was actually really close to Rock.
It sounds like they're saying Rock.
But it's Ruck.
It's Ruck, yeah.
Yeah, but I was like, wow, that's a coincidence. Because he looks, in some shots, he looks like The Rock. Anyway, so I have that. And then I liked when I wrote ballet in all caps. And then I wrote when Kirk tries to run away from Ruck and he like picks him up.
Yeah,
and,
like, he like jumps into his arms.
He like jumps into his arms and they like twirl.
He does it twice. He does it again later on. He like leaps. He like Shatner like helps him out. Like,
and he like catches him in midair and like twirls and then like puts him down. And I was like, what was that? And then I was like, great, another crazy Kirk clone we have to worry about when they were making clones. And
keep going, because I want to.
And then I'm just going through the whole episode, all my favorites, and then we can talk. And then there was the unnecessary rope on the chair, which I understand was planted so that he could strangle Dr. Corby. Because when Kirk was at the dinner table, they brought him in and they put him in that chair.
Yeah.
And they're all trying to be very civil. Mm-hmm. But Kirk was like, wait, there's rope tied around the leg of this chair. It's not broken. It's just there. And so then he like undid the rope and choked him. I thought that was like really strange. I just thought that was like weird writing. Because that was like, that's not like he used something that was there. It's not like he was in the kitchen and used a knife. Like he was like at a dining table, and apparently there was rope around the dining room chair. Like, you know what I mean?
It's well, some like, of it, but some of the furniture from I don't know what style. You just talked about this going to a museum. There is that style of furniture where they'll just have like random stuff like rope tied at like the joints, and maybe it's from like a. I think it's decorative, but it comes from a previous like.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, then never mind. I'm proven wrong.
I could be wrong, but I've seen it like as a decoration on chairs like that before.
Okay.
Where you kind of do it around the joints.
Where they meet and it's like a, okay.
Where the crossbar meets, I don't know, the leg.
What is the term?
The leg meets the
other wood. Anyway. But then I decided my favorite Shatner moment was when he sexually harassed an android. Kiss me. Feel something. Kiss me. No, come back. Grabs her arm. Forces himself upon her. I was like, wow, that really, really took a dark turn.
Yeah, just kiss me.
And then the closing line before they left the planet was, Dr. Corby was never here. And then they get up to the ship and everything's all fine and dandy.
What does that mean, Dr. Corby was never here? Yes, he was.
But he wasn't really, because it was an android. That's what he's saying.
But he was there for a second. That's how they made him. That's how they made him an android.
But they were like, "Where's Dr. Corby?" Like, meaning like they were expecting him to be down there. Mm-hmm. And Kirk was like, "He was never here."
So did you overall? Did you like this episode? Thumbs up, thumbs down.
You know what? I like this one. There were some. I don't remember the last episodes that were, but there were some that were a little boring.
Mm-hmm.
But I like this one. I think they're getting a little bit better with makeup.
Yeah.
Well, I thought, as far as Ruck goes.
I thought, yeah, it was a really cool the way they shaded him and they made him like, he kind of looked like the aliens. It reminded me of the aliens in a Twilight Zone episode called To Serve Man. Did you ever see that?
Mm-mm.
Do you want me to ruin the ending?
Sure. It's whatever.
No, I can't ruin it for you. Watch it. To Serve Man. It's on Netflix.
You just can't be a spoiler like
20 minutes out of your time. Just watch it.
What is it called?
To Serve Man. It's Twilight Zone. You've seen the Twilight Zone before, right?
Yeah.
It's an episode called To Serve Man. But that's what it reminded me of. It reminded me of the aliens in that epi.
Cool. But yeah, that's how I felt. But I feel like this episode was good. I was entertained.
I like when he's like, arm yourself, and she just reaches up on the cabinet, and there's a gun there. It looks like one of those garden hoses that you can like adjust.
Yes.
It's sprayed. Jet. She's going to set it to cone. it's like, oh, there's a gun there. This is one for me that I was always kind of like, I guess I like that he programs himself to insult, to be a racist to Spock. And that's how Spock figures out.
Yeah, I know.
Like, it's like, but I do like that even though Spock wasn't in the episode a lot, he can rely on him. He knows Spock's going to figure this out. Like, you know what I mean? That really, there's a lot implied there that like Kirk knows he can rely on Spock to like puzzle it out and he'll, you know, Spock will eventually figure it out and get down there. I like that that's kind of implied. I thought the awkward kiss that Uhura gives Nurse Chapel, because Nurse Chapel doesn't wait for it. I think there was a miscue, like, or maybe Nichelle Nichols thought, you know what, this is a really emotional moment. She's like, oh my God, you're going to find it. I'm going to reach in for the kiss. And then Nurse Chapel just kind of does the, she's like already walking away when like,
I didn't notice that.
Go back and look for it. Because later on in the show, they, you know, there's much is made because William Shatner and Nichelle Nichols had what is considered to be the first interracial kiss on TV.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah. Yes.
I vote for Nurse Chapel and Uhura to have the first interracial. Also, you know, girl-girl kiss. But not in that way. But just, you know.
It was like a, yay, you found your fiance.
Yeah, yeah. She goes to kiss her on the cheek and then, but Nurse Chapel's like walking away already.
Yeah.
Why did you make that face? Because your phone went off?
Yes.
And it happens. we're professional.
Clearly.
One thing I wanted to bring up, you know, I had never noticed the Cave of Fowls. One thing that really cracked me up was I was watching it this morning and I was laying in bed and my wife came in the room and it was a scene where they just lost the crewman and they're in the cave and then all of a sudden you see the guy and he's backlit. You see I think his name is Dr. Brown, the assistant, and he's totally backlit. So you only see his shadow. And then he's like, I'm Captain Kirk of whatever. And he's like, oh, and he like reaches to turn off the light. My wife's like, let me just reach for the light here in my cave.
I loved all the doors were like actual door frames.
Yeah. We got to build them another rock.
Yeah.
I like that they were octagonal.
Yes.
One thing that I read reading the Mark Cushman's book that I didn't know, but I kept saying because they were talking about the old ones, and that's a theme that comes up in H.P. Lovecraft books. H.P. Lovecraft was an author from the 20s who wrote a lot of horror stuff that a lot of board games are based on. But there's been a lot of – he influences a ton of people. And he has these characters called the Elder Things, and they're like things from the beginning of time, and they were – basically extraterrestrials, I think, that visited Earth and like made their home here now.
Uh-huh.
And the whole point of Lovecraft stories is that we are like, we have no control over, the horror comes from the fact that we have no control over the world and that at a moment's notice, you know, it could just, you know, we could just, something could just go horribly wrong. And so that's what these elder things represent. There's a book called, it's a story called At the Mountains of Madness. And it's about this expedition to the North Pole, and they find a city under the ice, and the old ones used to live there, and they find out that they were killed by their creations, and the creations are still alive. So that's kind of what Ruck represents.
Mm-hmm.
And Robert Bloch was a huge fan of H.P. Lovecraft, so he kind of adapted that story.
Okay.
So that's what this story is based on.
Okay.
You know, plus androids. Plus,
yeah, plus androids, plus...
Can we talk about the green, blue, like that color? Is the, like... What's with the alternating? Do you? I mean, what would you? What would
you? What do you mean?
The green blue jumpsuit, the overall.
Oh,
like, why is it?
Was that a style?
I don't know. Yeah, is that a style or something?
I don't know. I mean, I liked it, but like, I just feel like he wanted people to be perfect, and in a sense of perfection, he wanted great wardrobe as well. So he wanted like really like designer nice.
Everybody's
nice
going to be wearing
jumpsuits.
Overall jumpsuits.
Everyone's wearing overall jumpsuits. You can pick your color, but the cut's got to be nice.
So would you think Andrea is a basic bitch from the 20th century? You think that's what everybody's wearing?
I don't think she's a basic bitch because she doesn't know how to love.
She doesn't know
Let's
how to love.
Let's get deep.
And then all of a sudden, you know, she's like, make out with me. She tells Captain Kirk, and Kirk's like, it's illogical. So she shoots him.
Yeah.
Like, she got spurned, so she's going to like, you know, she's like. Bzz.
Because she's starting to feel, and she just had like her first denial.
And so that's how you respond. Just
and then like that's what.
Phaser somebody out of existence.
Basically.
Awesome.
I know. Awesome.
Well,
I just started drawing the jumpsuit.
So what we're going to start doing from now on is you and I are going to tackle two episodes a week.
Yeah.
So we can really just kind of move through. And because we don't really do in-depth reviews. This is really just to get you to watch the show.
They're fun. And we look for the funny things.
We look for the funny stuff. Again, the Mission Log is a great podcast if you really want to get into the details and the minutiae of all the show. And they're doing all of it. They're doing everything from the first Star Trek. Right now they're in the middle of Next Generation. They're going all the way through. They've done all the movies.
That's hardcore.
Yeah. We are not going to do that. But We're just going to get through these.
No.
We're going to get through the initial 5-year mission, which was really 3 years, and then we'll, you know. But I'm up in the air about this episode.
Really?
I don't know. You know, and I had just rewatched a bunch of the first season, and it's been just before we started this project, and it hasn't been long enough for me to go like want to watch it again. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not that it's better. It's just like I haven't been in the mood. So I really had to force myself to watch it today.
Yeah.
But once it got going, I'm glad it did because I never thought the Cave of Phalluses is something I missed.
See, it's nice to just rewatch
things.
He's
just holding it.
Yeah. And at the base. Like.
He's all about that base.
Full circle.
Full circle. All right. Well. Caitlin, it's good to be back.
Same.
It feels good.
Samesies.
We may have another episode for you guys next week. I just don't know what my schedule is going to be like. So we wanted to make sure we did a best of before we signed off. But we'll definitely be back after the new year on a regular schedule. When we pick up weekly track up again, if we do an episode next week, we won't do it. We'll pick it up in the new year. We'll do two a week.
Sounds good.
And then we can just get it all knocked out.
Yeah.
So for the lovely Caitlin Despain, it's good to have you back, Caitlin.
Good to be back.
For everybody out there who has been clamoring, have just been
sweating with fear,
beating down the gates of the internets, trying to get this show back in their ear holes. We appreciate you guys listening, and we appreciate all the support. And if we don't talk to you then, please, I hope you have the merriest of Christmases, the happiest of Hanukkahs,
the newest of years,
the kickingest of Kwanzas, the newest of years. May the roads rise to meet you. May the wind be ever at your back. May your tamales be filled with whatever you ordered.
Whatever your...
If you like
your dietary,
whatever your diet, yeah.
Anyway,
Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, and we will see you next time on the podcast. And until that time, we always say, this transmission ends
now.